Francis Hunt, the Market Sniper. Welcome to the Competent Investor. Thanks for joining me.
Delighted to be back, Tom. How are you keeping?
Excellent, Francis. And you?
Yeah, great. Glad to do this.
Always great to chat, Francis. And we have kind of some breaking news. We had this this interview scheduled from last week, but we're speaking on the morning of August 19th here. And it seems there's a very exciting move in gold. I spent the last 20, 30 minutes trying to figure out what the hell just happened. So why don't we start by walking through what just happened and the resulting, $122 so far move in gold almost instantly.
Well, the Federal Reserve, Tom, is caught in a catch-22. They've got no room to move. They're painted in a corner. And the announcement, from the best of my understanding, because I was doing an interview just before you when that happened, and all my gold alerts spun, and we are long gold. Just before that interview, I did a community update saying, okay, another trading opportunity. Let's get long gold on an upside HVF. We'll show you the charts. In fact, let's get them up, and we can talk about it while it's going. But the key thing is there's a real problem in the debt markets, and it's far more severe than people accept or realize overall. And what the problem in the debt markets is, regarding the Japanese story, for example, the whole, we wanted to help our friend Japan and we sold euros. There was a whole lot of misinformation and a leak with a notepad. And this was absolute kabuki theater as usual. The real problem is that Japan has runaway interest rates, much like America, and holds 1.2 trillion in treasuries. And as a result, wanted to get out. And as we've described, the problem with being a large holder of treasuries is that it's the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Of course, yeah. There's an asymmetry on bid. Everyone's welcome to buy. You can all go into purgatory, but you can never leave. And you then become a borrower against collateral that you can't touch, which is inherently a contract. And who knows what terms you get on the basis of the secured borrowing. But Japan was trying to sell $58 billion. In the end, they used this repo rate. Hey, borrow instead. Please don't sell. And as a result of that, they got 60 out of 1,200. So that's the difference between 1.2 trillion. Say you lend me $1,200 and I say, Tom, about that loan, I don't think you can get the money back. That would bankrupt me. But hey, here's $60 you can borrow from me against the fact that I owe you $1,200. That's what 1.2 trillion to 60 billion equals. It's not. I'm not sure you'd be entirely impressed with my conduct fiscally in terms of that with regards owing you those money. But that's the game. You can check out anytime you like, but you cannot lease, you can't sell. And in actual fact, people are selling, and it's now an open secret. So what we said at the tail end of 2020, and we've been with you in all your various guises and particularly supporting you in your new podcast and delighted to be here and grateful to be asked, it must be said, our message has been the same. Something changed at the late end of 2020. We called the nominal top for debt, and from now on, it is a downside debasement. Lower highs, lower lows, more downside, more downside. And that means rate climbing, higher highs on yields. And this is a Western malaise, but particularly American. And many people say, well, Japan's more indebted. As we regularly highlight, add the unfunded liabilities in, and the US is at 550, 600%. Japan goes from 230 to 330. So in actual fact, it's the hegemon's job who offshores all his manufacturing, bad idea, that ends up issuing paper contracts in fiat in lieu of being a net recipient of more goods and services. And that's a structural deficit that doesn't go away. And that means you keep issuing debt until you get to the point where nobody wants it at all and anymore. And all the buyers are being locked out, very much like the BlackRock, Blackstone on the private credit, which is also a debt experiment that deserves mentioning and is far larger than many realize. Soft close. Sorry, you can't ask for your money back beyond a certain percentage. It's not liquid enough, and we don't want to mark to market to its true value. It would crash. So we're going to try maintain the current value by stopping you from selling, because you'll automatically see a revaluation by price mechanism. So that's the debt problem. And what that actually means is it's super good for gold. We've regularly said, and this is a catchphrase of ours, turbo juice for gold. Debt, fiat and debt-based collapse is turbo juice for gold. So let me hand back before I go any further.
Well, you know, it's interesting, as you started explaining this, the problems with Japan, the problems, you know, that we're going to becoming or that we're going to start seeing in the US. But these aren't the only countries, right? The UK gilt market, we saw a massive intervention there. What was it, 2 years ago, Francis?
It was Liz Truss in 2022 who lasted all of 6 weeks, who on a budget decided to do a stimulus budget and issue more debt rather than increase tax. Both Kwasi Kwarteng and Truss went, and they were trying to, a pension fund there tried to sell debt, and they said, no, don't do that. And of course, the debt market was crashing and the pound. So the notion that when rates go up, the currency goes up, which is very much the premise behind, say, milkshake theory, when you are in distress, a debt-based collapse is also a downside for the fiat, because people are getting out of debt and getting out of your country. It's a loss of trust. They're running from everything to do with you.
Mm-hmm. So interestingly, I know you posted a chart on this recently as well on your X feed, showing that this is the highest highest level for UK gilts since I think it was in the last 16 years or something like that. And you know, it's quietly gone since 2007. So it's quietly kept going way past that level that they had to defend so aggressively. And the reason I bring this up is because it's not just, let's say, the US, it's not just Japan, it's, you know, everywhere that is very concentrated with debt.
Absolutely. It's a Western, but the hegemon falls highest and hardest. This was the disorderly part recently that caused a real bout of concern. And you start to see more of these moments, these schizophrenic moments on the charts, Tom, that you're referencing. So that was, I was having coffee and doing my sketches on my single little device. So that was a bit rough cut, a draw and a chart. But it was just a quick note for everybody to notice. And this is what we've continued to highlight is higher. And you had this period gap up. This is intervention. When you get a big green candle like that, and then the next candle opens halfway down, that's intervention. There's monkey business going here. This thing wants to leak up, and there's desperate acts being taken to keep the plate spinning in the debt market. So you're 100% right. This is a Western malaise, and I include Japan and South Korea in the Western hegemony, of course, even though they're out east.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. I mean, the last time we spoke, we talked a lot about South Korea, and they've seen something like a 40% drawdown in their stock market. On top of that, there was something, I was reading the stats yesterday, it was something like 3.4% of every single adult in South Korea had a margin call. And I saw another report that they started putting cameras up on overpasses because so many people started committing suicide. Like, this is serious stuff that has real world consequences when, you know, you have margin calls like this and so much debt because people are trading on this on margin.
100%. I think when we were suggesting a head and shoulder was going to take place with a downside target, when we first saw you, that target was made. So hence the rally after a target, only for further downside in our view. So there's the head and shoulder. I've sort of drawn it. I should maybe spread it out a bit. It's a bit cramped. And that's on the weekly time frame, which is quite large. For people who think that's not much of a correction, it doesn't look much. Don't forget, we're using log scale because we're doing big time frames. You were north of 9,000 at that low. You were 44% down at 5,400. And even if we take it to where it is today, you are still corrected 31.19%. 20% is deemed a bear market. When you revert down 20% from the last localized high, and this the absolute high, one would say, you're already 31.19. So you are in a bear market. If I just reduce the time, maybe a tad, Mitz, weekly is quite a big time frame. We talk about this broadening structure and how beautiful and clear it was for us that we were, you were still going to be going downside here. So that was the entry of the trade. That was the take profit. The rally is now in, but I would expect that you will have a revisit to further downside. And again, just so that people can see how big a move that was, I'm just going to de-log it, it will show you what a big collapse that was. Again, let's just click there and there. It was the better part of 4,000 points down from a 9,000. You know, you're almost at half. So it's already dropped 44% at its worst moment from its high. So yes, you get a rally now, but I suspect further down. And the great irony, so whilst we take a bow for that, let's also own up where we were wrong. The one thing we did suggest that would go hand in hand with that would be that the USD Korean won potentially would weaken. The exact opposite has happened, and this is cause for speculation in my mind, because whilst foreign direct investment should leave in Korea, and that's what we've been hearing, what we've actually had is a violent strengthening of the Korean won. Now, there was a Japanese yen carry trade also into Korea. So the recent weakening of the Japanese market has had me wondering, or alternatively, so I have two speculative theories. Why is it happening that the Korean, that they've had such a sell-off in their stock market and their currency has strengthened? I wonder if before the Japanese, this is pure spitballing and speculation, but it's amazing. There's only so many options. So sometimes you get to be right on these and it's fun as a discussion. But what I theorized is the Koreans possibly were allowed. They don't have the same volume of debt of holdings of treasuries that Japan does. They might have been allowed to sell some treasuries and the treasury market was already weakening and they repatriated their money to shore up their KOSPI market, which is part of the hyperscaler chip access that America needs to see keep going in America and can't have a sister market in the same industry collapse. So there might have been a motivation that allowed that to happen. Japan might have got wind of that and said, hey, we also have problems. We want to sell treasuries. This is, again, just me speculating, but I can't wait to see the South Korea's holding of American treasuries. And I wouldn't be shocked if they actually dropped, because if by repatriating their forced investment, every nation that has a surplus with America, and the South Koreans do too, Americans buy Samsung and all of those products on grand scale. It's the most populated phone. I mean, everyone who holds a device, probably every second one is on a Samsung for all I know. So there would have been a lot of surplus that was also forced bought in, and they might have let them get out and then regretted it. Remember, they let Lehman's crash and then said, damn, we shouldn't have let that happen, save everyone else. So it's kind of feels like that, because there's been a disproportionate strength in the Korean won, and we were saying we're watching for this to go the other way. So we're 180 degrees wrong on that. And now I'm wondering why. And we own that, and we think that's interesting feedback to learn, because the stock market is going down. Typically, when that happens, the foreign direct investment is going out and people are leaving the won back into the dollar or something else. So this has been antagonistic. So I'm speculating on this, or borrowing has taken place in yen to shore up as part of the carry trade, because there is this carry into other countries apart from America. It's just much smaller. So maybe they've been borrowing yen, buying the Korean won, and trying to hold the stock market, hence the rally after the fall, 44%. It will fail too, much like debt interventionism will fail. Let me hand back to you.
So, Francis, let's go back to kind of what's happening today and what the actual announcement was by Bessent. Are they starting to intervene in the long end of the curve here? And then we can... I guess that is kind of the explanation for what has happened with gold today.
Yes. And as I mentioned, so there's been a beautiful moment for gold. There's been two beautiful moments. We're extracting really well against the gold market by trading continuation and HVF patterns. The setup before I'm going to cover coming into this, but the key message is the panic and the lack of bids. Remember, I mentioned asymmetry. Everyone's welcome to buy. You're not so welcome to sell. You're really spoiling the friendship now if you want to sell. In terms of that, there's too many people who want to sell, not enough people want to buy, and you're in the parabola. So we talked about the parabola of Ishans creates, by perfect symmetry, a convexity inverse parabola of debt valuation and fiat valuation. They are tied because they are very similar. People try to differentiate. One's a dollar today. The other's a contract for a dollar in 3 months with a rental agreement attached. It's really just a piece of paper with a time diagram. Otherwise, it's a dollar too. And what you're actually getting is we're in the Ernest Hemingway, slowly at first and then suddenly very fast. That's how that curve looks like. It's also like a mortgage repayment chart as well. And it's an inverse parabola. And it makes perfect sense. And gold is the straight line that holds its value. Everyone's jumped out of the plane and is looking at other failing currencies. Fiat is devaluing at a record pace right now, as is debt. And the interest rates can only go up. It's got nothing to do with the strength of the economy. It's most people would agree that for Main Street, they should be cutting. Most people are, you know, not doing so good. But the crowding out of all the investments gone into the hyperscalers that they're making too big to fail by doing malinvestment and then tying in insurers and other things that won't be able to survive without a bailout. And that is going to lead to a subprime Mark II moment. In that environment of debt debasement, the monetary metals is its whole raison d'etre is here. This will still be here tomorrow. It'll still weigh the same. It won't have any rust. It won't have had its coin edge trimmed. Nothing like that. And people are realizing the value of monetary commodities. But we're also seeing setups in softs and other things. But the best trades are here. While we were doing that previous interview, I'd just done an update with the community while we were here. This is what we discuss and this is what we do. So our whole modus operandi is, hey, you've got to use these opportunities to build additional wealth for your well-being. This is a gifted, this trap that the Fed is in. You can either be resentful about it or you can choose to be pragmatic and profit out of it. And what I'll say to you is that our community here, we were just, there's the chart. It's coming down, guys. We want to get into it. There it is. It's right down. We put limit orders in there. And we were waiting, and then we got long, and then it started to move. Here we go. It started to bottom, and we were on this. I did a community update. These links, there it is. The recording is there. Guys, we're going in heavily long. We had a limit order for that expected sell-off. It came down, and it got filled, and we can show you that. So that entry over there, I was sleeping while that entry happened. Boom. And this entry was a chase in here once it clearly had bottomed and didn't run that stop. I've now moved those stops up to the previous low. I'll probably move them when we finish with this interview back up to there. And that's the benefit of having a real methodology. We've just done the similar setup, calling the bottom at the 4K. It traded 3950 odd, 54, I think it was. But you kept getting the support over there. So on the slightly bigger time frame, to remind everybody, falling wedge, it's a continuation pattern. Yes, you're letting some of the hot money that can't survive out. This was the setup for that one. And you came off the 4K clear support. And that gave us a great trade as well. We expected a bit of overperformance. This was the first in a new trend. So again, you can see that. There's the target, the purple line. We were trading long into there. And now we're getting our next continuation pattern, trading us back up higher. And it's great. The Feds are making you rich. They're pumping your bag because they're trapped. They're trying to maintain the system a little longer. Truly, friends, the September and October, I said, a summer of discontent is going to be incredibly harsh in the debt and fiat markets. It's a great, great time to be blue pot, no leverage buying. And if you have the interest, our community is specifically geared to maximizing wealth via trading opportunities like this. And they're going to give us many of them all the way. And they are very beneficial. There's two entries in there. The targets are up top there. It's closer now to my targets than my entries. There's real opportunity if you have methodology, community, and you're prepared to learn and you want to grow. And the Fed is cornered.
Mm-hmm. So, Francis, you know, typically we see a lot of, you know, this type of 3-4% move in silver instead of gold. why do you think that the price action on silver has been a lot more muted rather than gold through this last, let's say, 2 months here?
Because, and it's a great question, by the way, the God market is gold and it moves first. Second of all, the main buyers in this situation are people who don't want treasuries, that the Fed is now having to be the buyer of last resort, that are electing actively to choose gold. They can't store enough silver. The vaulting requirements and the costs are vast, especially when you're dealing with something like silver, which actually by density of value, this is not high density of value compared to if this was gold. This piece would be a much more valuable. Obviously, that's the gold-silver ratio, probably 60 times. We were also doing technical analysis on the gold-silver ratio, and it's probably worth just running past that so that you can see. And I haven't looked at it since this breakout, by the way, so it's, you know, I'm as going to be as interested as you to see how it transpires. But if we just look at this, you actually saw a reflation up. So our current expectation, I'm just going to take that fellow off. Our current expectation is that we are setting up a bit of a head and shoulder for silver. So you'll see the chart. This is really interesting. When part of your question is, when's silver going to do more than gold rather than less? If you're allowing me to superimpose a little bit on top of your question. And we've got, drawing it incorrectly. We call this the first smaller head and shoulder. Let me just fix my scribble there. The first smaller head and shoulder is what we call the monarch. This, you'll learn this theory in our methodology and watch us implement it. It's the first one with the highest neckline. And you often get what's called nestling when you are reversing. So you get a bigger one. So the next head and shoulder, let me just fix this draw, is actually one that is within and all encompasses the earlier one. This one's had a neckline here and a downside projection. So where's the bigger one? The bigger one is now here. Whoops, it's drawn in a different color. And you have a bigger left shoulder. This entire structure is all in effect ahead. And you have a new neckline. So these are the armpits, we call them. That's where you touch the same neckline. We only do horizontal necklines. It's price that dictates everything. We might be forming the right shoulder. When this turn downs and breaks here, you are going to have a big run back down to 59, in our opinion, on the gold-silver ratio. So while I was busy saying this is 68 times more valuable if gold than silver, that'll drop. And that'll be our performance on silver. So always first into gold. It's also when you are waiting on debt and debt pressure, the natural substitute for the price makers, the big institutions and government, central banks, dark state, you name it, is gold. Let it start there first. Then when it runs, it always moves and gets up first. We've had a correction as part of that continuation, and the king is still getting up first from his table. Yes, his bouncy son will eventually be allowed to get up and run faster and further, but first of all, the king stands up. So That's my take for your question.
Of course, everything we're looking at is also priced in dollars, right? That's our denominator. So Francis, have you been looking at the dollar as, you know, a longer term chart just to see or what do you expect from the dollar going forward here? Because over just today, you know, it's a pretty dramatic, sharp drop down.
Yeah, it's violent and it's damaging. And that again reminds people that action on debt is fiat damaging. They are Siamese twins. So again, the milkshakey crowd will try to tell you that the dollar is going to spike on rising interest rates. The normal relationship doesn't hold when it is a distressed situation. What you're getting is a disentanglement from a low trust space, ready to move to something that is more preservational and high trust. That will be gold, precious metals, or a Chinese-based system with trade vaults in all the major economic zones backed by gold with the gold in the vault, which can be seen, audited, and will be regularly reconciled. People will have a higher trust for B over the original A that started out with good intentions, kept distancing itself First, they confiscated the citizens' gold. Then they made it the state's gold. They upvalued. Then you could still convert your money to gold. Then it wasn't available to retail, only countries. And then they cut the tie entirely. They have been perverting the system and going more proxy and more derivative and more fiat and free float and less really backed. And what we're going back to is a backed system. So back to back, we want to say. And I'm hoping that's probably answered your question.
Well, from a longer term perspective, I was wondering if we could look at the actual, like the DXY chart or whatever your preferred chart is, Francis, just to be able to see the structures that you see that are, you know, kind of in place here.
Yes. So the key part when people want to just talk about the dollar is, unfortunately, it's always compared to something. So in some sense, I didn't fully answer your question because I didn't ask what do you else, apart from gold, what do you really want to compare it to? The problem with the Dixie is it's a totally flawed metric.
Yeah.
You're comparing the dollar, which it was a matrix of Western hegemony when it was set up in 1974, which is 52% euro. There's Japanese yen, which you know has been puking in there, but there's no Chinese yuan. By the way, so I did the tables on this, and I screenshotted them. It'll take too long for me to dig them up out of my records. But if you'd say, who is your primary trade partner and where is your primary deficit, America's biggest deficit is China. That shouldn't come as a surprise. And if you have a look at the USD, against the CNH, it has been 100% devaluing for the better part of 2 years. So let's show it to you. Ah, they did the Swiss franc. Sorry, let's just correct that. NH, I don't know if I mistyped there or whether they just took me somewhere else. This is your, let's go weekly. That's your dollar. That's the most meaningful currency relationship. Because most of what America eats in Walmart, most of what they, you know, the parts in a Tesla, most of everything that you use probably comes from China. The second biggest nation will surprise you. It's Mexico, which is Mexico, China, Europe, Japan, all offshore manufacturing that just decided to be on America's border for servicing its biggest client. So we'll have a look at the Mexican peso too. My argument is there's no point comparing a leper to other lepers. All you get is relative leprosy. I mean, I'm not interested in that. The UK is going down, the euro is going down and all of that. Who do you do most business with? How's your currency doing? Because that's where you're running a deficit and you owe them in their money. And that's why America's been sending gold. This is a terrible candle, by the way. I'll just switch off all the lines because we do a lot of work on that. But you rallied up to here. You got smacked back down from your open and have made a new low and are trading at your new low. This is a weekly chart. By the way, check it out. Biggest trade partner. You've lost 10%. You've lost 10% from April 25. That's not that long ago. Mm-hmm. You know, not even 18 months. And you've lost 10% in currencies. That means each time you bring a dollar, you get 10% less goods of their stuff. And their currency is appreciating, and you keep going on about their property base collapse. Their currency is appreciating, mate. Their bond market isn't falling out of bed. Their rates are low. That's what's happening. Okay, what about Mexico? Okay, let's have a look at Mexico. MXN. Looks like a very similar chart. This is supposed to be a third world nation. This is supposed to, you know, people laughed. Remember the Chiquila crisis?
More than 10%.
Yeah. You're looking at, you're down 20.4%. It's a smaller economy, but it's got a lot of Europe making BMWs or whatever they do, China, etc. So all the nations America technically trade to is Mexico, which is part Mexico and a proxy for all the major exporters to America, particularly China, but not exclusively, Vietnam, who knows, others, right the way through Europe, UK, or whatever they do, selling their stuff, you're down 20.4%. And when I have a discussion with Ben Johnson, you say, oh, but the Dixie's up by 1% for the year, so you know, the dollar's, you know, the debt might be down, but clearly the dollar's up. No, it's not. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Not against the people that matter. The people that are all tied to the same mast that are slave nations with you, Japan, UK, Europe, probably Canada, I'm afraid to say, Australia, New Zealand, all the Western, you know, the Western lot. This is going to be a white European nation English language tragedy. Russia got their Bolshevism. China got their Bolshevism and communism. And now it's the West's turn. And I don't want to be there when it goes down, because it's not going to be friendly. It's not going to be well sustaining and supporting. And most of what you take for granted won't be fundable anymore. And the unfunded liabilities, the whole contract is going to get thrown out because it's unfunded. It's 550 to 600% of your GDP. Forget it. Forget your welfare, Medicaid. Forget what you think you're going to be getting. It's all going. There's a bonfire coming in the debt. This is reset coming. And the best metal to hold is it. These are the currencies I think of when you're trading, when the bulk of your goods are being bought that matter most. Does it not make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when we see this devaluation of dollars, of course, we need to think of the inflationary side of this. And obviously, we've seen, a big piece of this puzzle be the oil price, Francis. So, you know, what is your expectation for inflation and oil going forward here?
Each Fed chair has to lie about the true inflation rate. Mm-hmm. And the new one has to lie way more than all before. The truth of the matter is the inflation rate is far higher than you expect. And even over a 30-year period, they've been telling you it's 2, 2.5, and normally it's about 8.
Sorry to interrupt, Francis, but you posted a really interesting, inflation measure of the Mars bar recently that was in a hoarder's house. And, you know, between the shrinkflation and the weight and the currency depreciation, it's an incredible story.
Yeah, and you got a perfect metrics. This is a staple of British. It's more Snickers than Snickers. It's more of Mac Burger than you can index than a Mac Burger. And Mars bar by volume, which is, I gave you the adjustment and the compounding in that Substack article. So there is a Market Sniper Substack. You're welcome sub there if you want. We did the entire analysis. They give you the length, the dimensions of the bar. You saw the picture of the two products. It's almost worth me just seeing if it can quickly come up so you can see it. And they say, here's the difference. And you see this much smaller bar with otherwise same colors, but definitely not the same item at all. Forgive me while I jump through here. Let's just get to the post. And you'll see the image of it. And I called it the Mars Bar Index. And you're well through 7.5% inflation. Those are the two Mars bars. And the current one weighs 40 grams. Mm-hmm. And the original one weighs 65. But the other thing is the content therein, they put heavier stuff, lighter, lower cost. So even though it's 40 grams, when you do by volume, the volume reduction is larger than the weight reduction. So they know they've made it smaller. They've gone and made it heavier with cheap garbage. So it's not even the same constitution. So we did by volume and said, let's assume they're both even. They're still using the same stuff. We'll look at the volume reduction, and volume is height times weight. I mean, my apologies, height, width, height, length. Multiply it out. When you do the volume, and so it's a true like for like, you get 7.5% of debasement in this. And we show you the maths and we show you it. And this just shows in the UK, you've been pretty much bang on. The people say in the States, it's around 8%, and they keep telling you it's 2 to 2.5. The US, the ONS, O-N-S, the official national statistics in United Kingdom tells you over this period, inflation has been 2.48%. Mm-hmm. And the Mars bar itself has gone up 7.5%, compounded 31 years in a row. That's how old that particular one was. That calculates that you used to buy it for 25 pence, something that you're currently only 41% by volume. So you've lost 60, You've lost 59%. You've lost 59% of the volume, and you're now paying £1.30 for something you paid 25p for 31 years ago. And that's your 7.5% compounding. It does. That's the cost. And people don't understand the power of compound interest, by the way. They truly don't. I'm going to take us back to gold because I want to highlight this move, which is absolutely ripping. People are waking up and realizing that's what's going on. I mean, Tom, we are literally capturing the news here as it's going. And you're also catching a live trade that I was speaking to the community about here. And we were talking about the night before putting in the limit orders here that got filled overnight. So it's been a great trade. I mean, it's going to smash us there. I will literally with you say I'm quite safe taking our stops to our relative low three. So this is also an exercise in, you know, trade management, profit management, loss management. All the stops go up there. They're now gone from about, you know, quite big potential losses to, in fact, I'll probably be about net neutral on this, even if we did do a U-turn and come smashing back down. So I've got 30 grand profit in the one, 18 minus 18, which is a loss on the other, probably the same on the other one. Let's just say the same. They're piled on top of each other now. So that's about 36 down, 30 up. So that would be a 6 grand loss. Each one of these at the moment is 300 grand in profits. So, and there'll be a 350 at target, which they're not far away from. And I might actually take, that's gone up so fast, there might be potential for a bit of overperformance. So I might take one of those off. So let's just see if I delete that one. There we go. There should be two there. Yeah. So those are at our designated take profit. I will discretionally manage the third position to a close, which may actually supersede the targets given the fundamental news that came out. And by the way, HVF method, which is the setting up of low volatility to high volatility expansions with low risk, is the forensic detective. The insider that catch the insider's forensic detective. No, I'm not paying 100 grand to front run with Trump's Truth Social. No, I'm not interested in that. I have HVF method. We get the news, before it even happens, and we're in the trade. We find out the reason after. So I trade 100% technically, and then I find out why the trade worked, or I fail, and I lose one unit of loss versus the multitude of gain. And the risk reward on this, it's just worth tapping through because, you know, you're a channel for helping people get independent, get wealthy. This is important. And these are simple principles that an entire community with me is following. We've had a record number of new millionaires, by the way, in our community. So I just want to, I'm just going to hide that the table is an 11.03 risk reward. It's a bit in the way there. I'll move it to the other side. But this draw tool, by the way, for all those that are in our community, you get that as well. I'm designing and working full-time with developers to make sure we are always increasing the value add that we do. This is top right. Sorry, I want to move that table out the way. It's masking the price. I don't know my left from my right, and I'm telling you all and sundry. Let's try get it on the left-hand side now and stop being stupid. So this is a fantastic. We've just run our second interim. You might get a little bit of pushback here before the target is run. We don't panic. We have a methodology that even tells you when you might have a pause in your journey path to the upside. We sit back. Stops are in. Take profits are there. I can go fishing for all that matters. Or better still, Tom, an enduro bike out in the salt sand. What do you say to that?
Love it.
I hope you can.
We have to do that again.
I'm looking forward to it, friend. I'm looking forward to it. You've got a good set of wheels still waiting for you out South Africa way. So you'll be a man like me with a bike in every couple of bikes in every country. It's kind of expensive, but hey, you got to do it.
Well, it's you can't put a price on those kind of adventures and experiences. And, you know, just like you were saying, Francis, the ability to have the optionality that wealth gives you is to be able to have that freedom to have those experiences, right? And, you know, you and I rode through Africa together. It was an awesome, awesome experience. The first time I met you actually in person was at the airport when you picked me up. We went and got my bike right away. And, you know, I have those memories for the rest of my life. And you can't, in my mind, you can't put a price on doing something like that.
100%. You know, we salient souls that have been granted a physical body for a while to have an experience. And, you know, you got to choose on what terms you're going to do it. Worship money, sit it and all the time, or live life, go out, see the beautiful, the big and the dandy, have a bit of adrenaline, have a bit of fun, maybe take some cautious risks as we are doing here in trading and showing you. And also on, you know, in the dirt, you can get hurt, but sometimes that's the important part of living. You need a little bit of that. The whole notion of perpetual safety for all things actually robs man of existence, in my view. I'm not, you know, a martyr. I'm not someone who takes stupid risks anymore. I hate pain too much nowadays. Everything hurts. So the last thing I want to do is do anything stupid. But it's great to get out the community of like-minded, the boys on the bikes, all of these things. And for the ladies too, you know, get out and enjoy, do what makes you happy. It's something for everybody. And we've got so many years. I do personally feel that it's a pretty dystopian future in terms of where they want to take us, but I'm not refused to let, and the worst thing is refuse to let them get me down. Boost your immune system by living in joy, happiness, generosity, and choose your principles. I don't care if they're the winning team. I'm going to stick with what's right. What's right is sound money, supporting people, non-violence, non-interventionist government, sound money, and leave me alone. Liberty, self-reliance, and integrity. And that's the only way you can choose to live. You know, there's so many people that are charlatans that are, you know, selling a sales course or crypto micro caps or doing various other things. You've got to live with integrity. Everything will catch up with you. You know, it's very much like, you know, taking cocaine for highs today and hangovers and setting landmines for yourselves to stand on in the next days when you're off. I'd much rather longevity, integrity, and smart long-term thinking. And we're going to win. We're going to win by spoil their future by living in happiness and joy. You know, be around for a long time and be a pain in the ass. That's my philosophy. And live well. They hate that. And when I say they, I'm talking about the state and all the interventionists, all the do-gooders that are coming with all their nefarious activities and medical interventions, etc. No, no, no. We're going to call you liars every time you lie, and we're going to be there to remind you, and we're going to live well, and we're going to skip around the obstacle course of landmines that you're leading for us by being smart, awake, alert, assertive, confident, wealthy, and sovereign. And that's what I want for everyone watching your program.
I would love for everyone watching this to have those tools in their bag as well. And I think, you know, the other thing that I think we need to add to that is, you know, learning from the past and learning to think for yourself. It's a conversation I had yesterday with Chris McIntosh, another good friend of the both of us. And you know, just the idea of being able to make your own choices, being able to understand the world from the perspective of learning from the recent past. I think more people are waking up, and tools like this just help them to have more self-reliance and optionality.
100%. Nothing to disagree with there. Mm-hmm.
Well, Francis, before we wrap up here, let's. You said you had your eye on a couple more of the soft commodities. Would you mind running us through a couple more of those? And
gold's the best game in town. I mean, I think if we warbled on for another half hour, we'd probably see this thing close on targets. So I always put preference on it, but there are certain things that will also go up. A small freebie for your followers, because I like them and I want them to do well, would be the likes of cacao, for example. I would probably go up the time frame. We see this as very positive technical structure. Let me just take that off now because we're on a different chart. So we're seeing upside coming for coffee. Very strong on the up legs, more moderated. You'll see the falling wedge that we called on silver and gold there. Nice strong alert. And then good rounded bottom in here and coming back up. A little bit of a level there. These are also entries, by the way. So, and these are stops. We really trade. And we're seeing, you know, 7.5 even. So quite a way away for those targets as well. And that's cacao. And I'll throw an extra one in because we love your followers and your fans. I know they're good guys and girls. Arabica, which is very similar thematically. Soft commodities, you know, you certain amount, you've got to have a certain amount of land, you've got to have water, you've got to grow good trees. I would personally slightly prefer the cocoa, but you've got a very similar dynamic. They're not substitutes. If you want caffeine, you're getting the coffee. If you want chocolate, you're getting the cacao. But there's that first impulse. Again, more moderated on the down. We see this building up for some further upside. Had a bit of a slam here. But in order of preference, obviously the gold's already moved, but gold is going to give you the most and best setups, I think, consistently. We are set up to exploit this entire bull market by accelerating. Those profits there, by the way, to a substantial sum, are all just going to go into physical stack. So we're accelerating stack out of our trading activities. And of course, we've already paid for existences and in other countries and residencies and all of that outside of the West and places to live there and fun things to have when you are there. You can start doing it too. It might sound a million miles away and it's, oh, you guys are just rich and you don't know. No. You can do it too. It's just you've got to be motivated. You've got to keep at it and you've got to own your own outcomes. Get with the program. Unique opportunities do get presented in times of crisis. That Chinese word that is crisis means two things, crisis and opportunity. Mm-hmm. In extreme crisis, will you be one of the ones with cash when everyone else has to sell their fancy Florida homes because the interest rates have gone to 6%? We called six first world nations to go to 6%, which is the 5.75 to 6 range in 2026. We called it our 666 forecast within 6 months of the year ending. So all the sixes, and we're marching on the long end to all of those. And a lot of people, sadly, I don't take any joy in the fact that they're going to get burnt, but they're over-leveraged, they put 5% down, they put 10% down, they're living the high road, they've got car payments coming out of their ears because they've got a four-car garage now and they've overextended themselves. They're going to have a reset mortgage that will change in 2 years' time or whatever the case may be. And who knows, even the fixers, they might renege on the fixers for those that have fixers and think they're good. The banks, if they can't hold it anymore, they'll break the line. They'll say force majeure, something like us, you need to pay us more. Who knows what the tricks they'll pay, they'll pull. And BlackRock, don't worry, BlackRock will be there to buy your house and to rent it back to you, and you can become a tenant in your own home. So, I mean, watch out for all of these tricks. And, I mean, there will be great bargains for those that have kept their resources, but you've got to keep your resources not just in banks because the great taking and all of that. This is probably one of the best thing, precious metals, for all of that. Anyway, I've gone long form on you. Market Sniper, the YouTube channel, our links are there. Only use those. Or go to themarketsniper.com if you're interested in becoming a community member. You can subscribe on the YouTube channel. There's also a free mini series if you just want to watch and see a bit more about what we're about. But we really trade, and we have a great methodology specifically useful for trending commodity markets, especially monetary metals, during this time in a collapsing debt environment that we've forecast for the turn on in 2020, and we've been milking ever since. And you can all change your life and have optionality as well as wealth. And I wish it for all of you. Thank you for having me on, Tom.
Thank you, Francis. It's always a pleasure. Of course, the only two that I wanted to add, at the Market Sniper on X and Francis Hunt, the Market Sniper on Substack. Francis, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on.